Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. My name is Seth, aka White Fox SG, and I am your host today, and I'm joined by a very special guest. Here with me today is, for episode 27, covering the Glory Warriors, is Dan. Dan, how do you say your last name? Is it Zinner? Zaner. Okay. Well, I was attempting it, but I, you know, never know. And this, you know, I didn't ask or think to ask before. So right. Oh, I forgot to unmute you for a second, but you did say, it's Zaner, not Zinner. And so, hey, we made it. We're here now. We're doing it live. So I'm not going back to re-record anything. But hey, welcome. Dan, thank you for joining me. I have been a big fan of Bear Cavalry since before you guys were in my sponsor shop, Fortress Miniatures and Games.
Thank you, Bobby.
And yeah, and then when Bobby picked you guys up, I was super excited. Loved what I've been seeing from you guys going back since I started following. But I really enjoyed your interview on the Coolant Pod podcast.
That was so
and
funny.
And I was like, oh my gosh, he sounds awesome. I feel like, you know, we have so much in common. He loves Trogdor and Strongbad as well. And so I was like, well,
don't threaten me. I will definitely go into my Strongbad voice.
That's right. I've got to send him a message.
Consummate bees.
That's right. Oh, so good. Growing up in the early internet days.
Put him in the face.
That's right. It's very good, by the way. So very good impersonation.
I've been practicing it for 25 years.
right. Exactly.
And introducing it to my kids now, which is really fun.
Yes. Oh. Man, they're celebrating their 25th year, and they're launching a whole bunch of 25th anniversary merch and stuff. So unofficial shout out to unofficial shout out to Strongbad and Homestar Runner. So but hey, let's dive into the episode. What we're going to do for those of you watching and listening, we are going to have a little intro for Dan here, then we'll get into the unit of the Glory Warriors, because I didn't know much about them and was excited to learn about them. But then we're also going to have a spotlight on Bear Cavalry Paint after that. So stick around and listen to all of that. But first, Dan, how did you get into Battletech?
Oh, man. I was a wee lad, and my dad worked for IBM, so we always got had a relatively new computer, and Windows 95, our Pentium 2 came preloaded with the MechWarrior 2 CD-ROM.
Classic.
And I was like, "What is this?"
Yeah.
Picked up our Sidewinder flight stick, and he would run the joystick and I'd run the keyboard.
Nice.
And I still remember, this was so fun. I was talking with Randall Bills at Gen Con, and we both had the same reaction when we brought up MechWarrior 2, the opening cinematic of just
mind-blowing.
God, what just happened? Like, my little brain exploded all over the room.
Mm-hmm.
It was so amazing, and I've been hooked ever since. Played the crap out of MechWarrior 2, Ghost Bear's Legacy. Introduced me with a lifelong love for all things Ursine.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, what a great... It's a family story about 31st century murder robots. Like, you know,
perfect.
You gotta love the founders of the Ghost Bear clan being the only married couple to found a clan.
Loved it. I mean, it was family. As Dom from, you know, Fast and Furious would say, it's all about family.
It's all about family. There's so many really good puns that I haven't used yet. I really need to like Olive Garden is actually the Ghost Bear of the chain restaurants. When you're here, you're family.
It's the Ghost Bear's preferred chain on every every world in the Rossel Hog Dominion.
Okay, I'm definitely writing that into a whole brew campaign. Anyway, so Ghost Bear's Legacy. Played MechWarrior 3. Our local game store didn't have a huge selection of Battletech, and Iron Wind medals were like $15 a mini, and I'm like, I don't have that kind of money to rub together. I'm still buying my Catechins for 40K, so how about I make my own? So I literally made my own minis. I sculpted them out of Sculpey clay.
That's
based
awesome.
Off of MechWarrior 3, because I just didn't have a Battletech rulebook. And I made my own rules based off of D10s, because that's what I had for playing D&D with some friends.
That's okay.
And we played on my train set.
That's great.
It was great. I basically invented Alpha Strike. So, it was kind of fun.
that's awesome. That's awesome. Self-invented. That's really great. I did not ever do the terrain until I was older. But I was always fascinated by the train sets and stuff because my grandpa had one I remember he had it on pulleys in the garage up on the ceiling, and then he would lower it down so that we could play with it and stuff, and it was full electric and running and was like awesome. And then he would put it back up, and then the fact that my grandma at Christmas would do, they had a pool table and they would put a topper on it. And they would do full Winter Village at Christmas time.
Oh, cool.
So, I've always loved the miniatures and stuff like that.
It's great. So we do the Ersatz Battletech on the train
set.
Actually, my dad still has on his desk at home this little diorama that I made of some wolves and jade falcons fighting each other and things exploding, and made out of Sculpey clay with bombs for explosions and pipe cleaners for lasers. And
I mean, I think that needs to make its way to the internet. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I should ask him to take a picture of it. So, yeah, we should do that. Then I read the fiction a lot. The Twilight of the Clan series was really my,
Blood of Kerensky?
Heritage.
Yeah.
Phelan Kell actually was my first email address, Phelan Ward.
Awesome. I love it. We all had one of those, right?
Yeah,
mine was related to Ender's Game, if you ever read that book.
There you go.
So
yeah. Read that. I actually had to get two copies of one of them because my dog chewed one of them. I was very sad about that. But then got into the Twilight of the Clan series. Loved that. I still have them. And kind of took a break for a bit, although it was weird. So my thing with books, I'll glom onto a series. I'll read it. And I'll come back to it 2 or 3 years later and I'll read it again, because I have the memory of goldfish and I'll forget things and I get to re-enjoy it again.
Nice. That's great.
I was listening to your latest episode, and we have a mutual love for Mike Stackpole.
Oh, yes.
And I loved his X-Wing series, too. So
fantastic.
Similar to you. As soon as I found out he was I think I came into it in the X-Wing series for Battletech. I've read some of his other stuff, a Cartomancy series that was pretty cool. But I had a really special moment with him at Gen Con with my son, because we just read or listened to the entire X-Wing new audiobooks.
That's awesome.
All of them that have been released so far over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. For all of our hockey season road trips, we were driving all over the state of Oregon for hockey. Come to find out, Mike Stackpole, being from Vermont, played hockey as a kid. And so getting
That's
to
cool.
share that moment with him and my son, just saying that we listened to our favorite books together and him going, how awesome is that? I'm a hockey player too. That was super special.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, I just love the community aspect, the family aspect of Battletech. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sat on the shelf for me for a while as I got into early career and marriage. I picked up I've always loved the Atlas, so I picked up an Atlas a while ago, 2009 or something, and then I didn't mm-hmm. play or paint until Twilight of the Clans Clan Invasion, until the Kickstarter.
That brought a lot of people back. It really did.
Yeah.
Because like you, there was a bunch of us that left in the early 2000s. The company had changed hands. The direction that they were taking was not clear. Yeah, it was all the dark age stuff, and they shifted. It was a dark time, both literally and in universe. And so, yeah, like it was that perfect time, right? Of, hey, I'm a young adult. I'm starting a family, starting a career. They kind of changed the thing I like into something I don't like. So I'm going to just like step back for a minute. Thankfully, I was not like a lot of people, and I did not sell all my stuff. So I still have everything from back then.
That's great.
But and then I even have some of my friends that I played with growing up. They gave me some of their stuff. One of them gave me their entire book collection, which he had more books than I did. And then one of them gave me all his mechs, all the original third edition plastics, which were like the unseen mechs, and then all of his metal minis as well that he had. So so I've got a lot of old sculpts as well that I haven't done anything with since coming back to Battletech. I actually came back. I didn't go to Gen Con, but a friend of mine went to Gen Con in like 2014, 2016, something like that. When they released the Battle Mech Manual, I think it was the first year, because it was the first year, whatever that was. They released it at Gen Con first, and so I had him, a friend of mine, pick it up for me because he was going, and so I got that, and I had him pick up some of the metal aluminum laser etched dice. For Ghostbear and for Davion. So
so good.
So yeah, that so was good. When I came back.
Funnily enough, I somewhere. Oh no, they're at home. Yeah, I got the aluminum dice for Ghostbear, and then
I love them.
When the Mercenary Kickstarter came out, I had to get the Razor little holographic ones. They're great.
Yeah.
But yeah, we started going to Gen Con. We used to live in Indiana, so it was really easy.
Okay.
To go to Gen Con. And the first year I took my son, he was, I don't remember if he was three or four. He was five. Yeah, he was five. And we played the Sim Pods. Oh, and he was just like,
very nice.
I mean, it was like when I first played Mech Warrior 2, but 1,000 times better because they're in an actual cockpit.
Yeah. I got and to his, sit like, in his one, face was but just I haven't like, played it.
What?
Oh. Yeah. I went to another Gen Con. They were between people, and I just asked if I could like sit in it for a second. I didn't want to like jump in line or anything because the line was like 50 people deep.
I'm officially mandating that you come to Adepticon and we play Sim Pods together.
I want to. I do for sure. But yes.
That was a goal was cool. For sure. Like, you know, he's sitting on my lap and we're, you know, doing the things, and then he plays Classic for the first time with at Gen Con. They have the foot tall 3D printed mechs and giant foam dice, and so like that's how he got introduced to awesome. Classic. And then we got home and he's like, "Dad, can we play?" I was like, "Heck yeah, we can." And
yeah,
like I think I got the Game of Armor Combat box, and then I 3D printed some mechs. I'm sorry, Catalyst.
That's okay. I mean, here's the thing,
which is what I loved about Catalyst versus BW.
Yes. They're kind of like, as long as you're not like trying to do anything, you know, that's going to be detrimental to the IP, they kind of just turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I still buy all the plastic. I just sometimes there's sculpts that like maybe you're in metal or maybe there's not a sculpt at all. And so, yeah, I don't know. I have done it as well. I did get into 3D printing earlier before all the plastic sculpts were coming out because I wanted to have things that were new that were not out yet.
Yeah.
So
I mean I printed a few Timberwolves and Hellbringers and Summoners because the old sculpts just didn't appeal to me.
Yeah. But
I've since bought a crap load of them. So I feel like I balanced it out. But during that time I started painting more. This is before Bear Cavalry existed. And I loved the Atlas still, and I wanted to see, I'll take on these painting challenges just to kind of see where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've been like Gosh. Oh, this is a fun story that I haven't shared in a while. In computer lab in high school, I think, or maybe middle school, I would look up camo specs online.
Nice.
Like when
That's
they
awesome.
first came out.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh my gosh, these guys are amazing. So every few years, I'd see kind of what they're up to. And one of my favorite units in there is the Rasselhag Freeman with the sunset over the forest on the
Yes.
torso. And I was like, I'm gonna try and paint that just to see if I can.
Nice.
So I
Yeah.
painted my Atlas with the Rasselhag Freeman.
Oh yeah. No, that looks
And yes, this was,
fantastic.
and I wish this wasn't a 3D print so I could put it on the internet. I need to repaint it, another Atlas.
I do have a picture that you sent me that we'll show a little later of that too. So,
Yeah, you could just say, he's very sorry, it's 3D printed. Please don't kill him,
of
Catalyst.
course, no, it's
You know?
okay. And that's the
So
thing about the community too, is that 3D printing, if unless it's like an official CGL tournament or something or event, then no one really cares. You know, we can show up
exactly.
and play with the cardboard standees from the box and it's fine.
Right.
So,
You can show up with a couple of coffee beans, which is what I love. So,
yeah.
yeah, so I painted that. I put it up on a Facebook group for Classic Battletech, and somebody posted like, that looks like a Bob Ross painting about ready to murder me. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
You're not wrong. So I'm like, what if I actually painted a Bob Ross painting on a mech? Like, no one's done that before.
Yeah.
This is my chance to finally do something first in the world. So I pull up YouTube and I was like, what would go well on the other mechs in the game of Armored Combat Box? Ah, I know. Some Almighty Mountains on an awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
So I started the Bob Ross Lance. We got the awesome with the mountains. We got the Battlemaster with an Aurora on it, and then the one that everybody loves, the Fafnir, with the campfire,
Yeah, that
which
looks
I'm
great.
redoing now that I do have the Iron Wind Metals sculpt, that's gonna be my
That'll be fun
next
to
project.
compare, you know, like painting skills then to painting skills now and
Yeah,
as
'cause I
well,
painted
so.
that in like 2020, and with crappy Citadel and Vallejo and Army Painter paint.
I know, right?
This
You
is
got to
before
use.
Army Painter Fanatic, which I do enjoy for a
Yeah.
certain segment of the population. But
Yeah.
yeah. So I'm eager to see how it goes. But yeah, there's a funny story before we get into the Glory Warriors about the Fafnir. And when Alex, my son, and I started playing Battletech, we're just like, what is the wackiest mechs that we can play with? Like the Valhalla with like every missile launcher everywhere,
Yeah.
and I saw the I loved the Fafnir from MechWarrior 4, and I started looking up the variants. I'm like, wait a minute, there's one with four plasma cannons? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And so that is my favorite mech of all time, is just, all right, I'm gonna light you on fire
Yeah.
from a few hexes away, and you are
Absolutely.
not gonna have anything to say about it. Just ammo explosions all day long.
That's awesome. Yeah, I the amount of variants and alternate versions and whatever of all the mechs is one of the things that BattleTech just really has going for it. But speaking of, so I don't know if they're your favorite, but do you have a favorite unit slash faction besides the
Yeah, I
Glory
mean, I always
Warriors?
go back to the Ghost Bears. I just love that it's all in the family. But also, I mean, come on, totem mechs like the Kodiak,
Oh yeah.
like
That's
you
great.
don't get much better than that. So,
That
yeah,
Ghost
I
Bear
love the lore.
Legacy intro video really made an impression on a lot of people back then. Myself
Yeah,
included.
and I'm glad that they learned their lesson from the original from MechWarrior 2 intro of like it not really being actually all that accurate to
Sure,
Battletech.
sure.
But the Ghost Bears intro leaps and bounds better. And I
Oh yeah.
still got chills. I'm like I legitimately peed my pants the first time I saw it. It was like,
So exciting.
jumping on them and oh no,
Yeah.
what's gonna happen? Oh, it was like just the dread. That came up that one of like, oh my gosh, this guy's gonna get it.
Yeah.
And then this giant monstrosity with claws comes out of the snow, and like, you've never seen a Kodiak before.
No, no. And you know, obviously later it's like, it's very much an emulation of like the real Kodiak bears in clan lore, you know, that hide in the snow and jump out. So so good. So good. And that was definitely my first. I mean, like, you know, starting off, I definitely was reading the fiction starting 1989, 1990. And because a friend of mine who was older, but he was, my dad was the youth minister, and he was in the youth group. And so I was always hanging around with them. And so he introduced me and some of my friends to BattleTech. And so before the clans, you know, invaded, I was reading, you know, the Warrior Trilogy and stuff like that. And I loved the Grey Death Legion. But man, the clans were so awesome. And when the Ghost Bears in that expansion came out, I was like, yep, I like blue. That's mine. I want them. Right? I don't want the wolves. The wolves are fun, right? They're like the hero, you know, of the lore for a little bit. But you know, of course, the Jade Falcons, they're bad there, but they're the bad guys, right? And then Smoke Jaguar is even more so. They're
tasty roasted over fire with some turmeric on them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The other thing I liked about the Ghost Bears too was it, like, you know, it was early, you know, middle school. You know, when you logged in, it felt like you were in a locker room. You know, like you know, you're hanging out with your buddies and they're a little punk rock, you know, the 72nd Trinary. Mm-hmm. Like everything's a little messy. Like it felt like being in my bedroom.
Yeah, the claw swipe logo hovering in the hologram in the background. Good. Oh,
man.
It was great.
That was just like.
And so you know, like I said, I think I was saying that to Brian in the last one. But yeah, that's my, White Fox was from my love of Hans Davy on the Fox and Ghost Bear merged together. And that was my my character for my BattleTech universe. So
yeah, I'm eagerly anticipating. I'm going to be building a gaming PC for the first time.
Oh, very nice.
Finally going to be able to play MechWarrior 5 Clans properly. I played like 3 missions of it on my MacBook and I was like, really just need to get a PC.
And sure.
They're coming out with it, or maybe it's already out. I'm behind on video games, but like the Ghost Bear expansion to
MechWarrior 5 Clans. It's out.
I was like,
it's great.
So.
No, it's that the MechWarrior 5 games have been fantastic. And I'm actually.
Can you play with the joystick anymore? Like, I don't even know.
You can. Right? Yeah, you can. It's not the same, you know. So I reverted back to keyboard and mouse. Because it's just easier to get down, to sit down and start playing that way. You know, actually they do work really well with a controller because they are on Xbox Game Pass because Microsoft owns the video game rights for BattleTech. And so, so they're all in Game Pass. So you can actually play them on a computer. You can play them on, I think you can play them on the Xbox as well. The
MechWarrior 5 games. Yeah, I was playing Mercenaries on the Xbox for a while, but anyway, so that's been really fun because, like, you know, getting to play that with my kids, and it's just great. So
it is. Yeah. I started a Mercenary, not to go into it too long. I started a Mercenary campaign with my oldest son, and my youngest is supposed to join us soon. But basically, to try to get them into the lore of it and then get them to come back around, because I played the tabletop game with them, but it was 5 years ago during COVID, and it was you know, they were still a little young. And so now that one's 15 and one's 12, I think I can, they'll have a better grasp of it. So but yeah, let's move on. Okay, so what is doesn't have to be a favorite mech. It could be a favorite mech right now, or just one that you always come back to. Which one?
Oh, yeah, I think I alluded to it earlier. It's the Fafnir 5WB. It's nice. The Wabi ridiculous plasma cannon death machine. I mean,
fantastic.
You know, F around and find out. You know, if you get within six X's of me, you're done.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. I do love that it's like a really specialized variant as well. Fun play style for sure. Have to get in close.
Yeah, that's what I love about Battletech, that it's never lost that random hilarity like
mm-hmm.
other games have, we'll say. You know, over the years, there's still those moments every time you get down to the table where it's like, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
I swear, every first game that I've played with each of my kids has ended with me getting a PPC to the head. or a Gauss rifle, or both. Yeah. Like,
the
every
luck
time.
Of youth, I think, is real. It's a real thing.
Yeah, you know, the dice gods smile on the youth when they play Battletech for the first time. My favorite, though, was I also enjoy the Kodiak, just for reasons we alluded to earlier.
Of course.
I was playing a 2-on-2 against my son. I had a Kodiak and something else that had already died. And he had I think it was the Valhalla with like four other M15s or something. And he had a Wolverine. So his Valhalla is hiding behind a hill, as it's wont to do. And I'm charging his Wolverine with my Kodiak. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot. I'm just going to punch you in the face. We get to shooting phase. 80 LRMs come arcing over the hill, crashing all over my 100-ton Majesty, and I fail my piloting skill roll and fall flat on my face right in front of the Wolverine. No. And he just place kicks my head across the battlefield. Kick
Amazing.
Straight to the head, cockpit destroyed, and I'm like, did just happen?
Yeah, it's stories like that which is why Battletech is so fun and yeah. You know, nostalgic for those of us that, you know, were young and had those against somebody else one time. Mm-hmm. We're always trying to recreate that.
Always trying to get that back. Always trying to get the glory days, which is
that's right.
I would like to the Glory Warriors a little bit.
Yeah, but speaking of Glory Warriors, let's jump into the unit for today. It's not going to be a long coverage because they don't have a long history.
There's not much there.
Yeah. But let's move over to the presentation and we'll do it some justice. All right. Well, the Glory Warriors, for those of you that don't know, started, which is a lot of people, I'm sure, because I definitely didn't.
Pretty much everybody.
They are a unit that has a fun little history of beginning at the end of the Fourth Succession War. They were formed from five small mercenary units that came together. They were all pretty decimated at the end of the Fourth Succession War, and they're like, let's band together. We're on Galatea. We'll get a job together. And they formed the Glory Warriors. So it was 30-30 in the timeline. As far as their first appearance for we, the fans of Battletech, it was in the 20-year update, which was in June of 1989. And some of you may also have the reaction of, well, that's not 20 years into the Battletech IP. No, it's 20 years from the beginning of the Battletech lore that we had so far. And so it was basically, you know, from 30-30 to 30-50. Is what it was covering, the 20-year update. And it was essentially, we didn't know at the time, but it was preparing us for the clan invasion because that had not happened yet. We had not gotten anything other than some really, you know, kind of weird conversations in Wolves on the Border, right? That later we're like, oh, well, that was clan
of course.
Speech, you know. But at the time, we had no idea. So yeah, so this 20-year update was the first time that they were introduced into the Battletech lore. It does not give any other information of who these five units were. It doesn't say who the commander at the time was. We just know that it was five mercenary units. They had to take contracts in the periphery just to kind of make ends meet. They did not do very well until they were hired by Earthworks, which is a, you know, mech producing facility. The only known person that we do have as their commander, only named person for the Glory Wars, was Kent Clark. Not to be confused with Clark Kent.
Not to be confused with Clark Kent at all.
He was their Superman, let's be honest. I really think he probably had like Superman, you know, like pair. Oh, like, yeah. He
definitely got a Superman cool like vest.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. You know, maybe when drawn on the shoulder of his quick draw, you know. Because he did pilot a quick draw.
He did his quick draw, yeah. So I think I might have to incorporate that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but they weren't profitable really until they had a contract with Earthworks as private security, and they were on the planet Victoria. And then, you know, fun little lore drop, they thwarted a raid and kind of just stopped it before it happened. Basically, they then captain Clark, I almost said Kent, Captain Clark basically rushed his lance forward, damaged the incoming dropship enough that it crashed, and the raiders, rather than be captured, decided to kind of just off themselves. Because, you know, there are definitely people in Battletech that do that. Plenty of people. So they got...
Must have been components.
Yeah, probably. So they captured this dropship because it only fell from like 30 meters. So most everything was intact.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah, so they captured like an entire, you know, company of mechs. I think they kept the dropship even. But then they sold a bunch of stuff from salvage to basically get rid of all their debts. And now they're up to a battalion or so in strength. Funny enough, they did not have any mechs over 60 tons. They were a solidly medium and light mech unit.
Which we'll get into in a minute. That's my only departure from the lore.
That's okay.
Is they've somehow snagged a victor
through salvage. All things are possible, right?
Through salvage, all things are possible. Yes.
But in
song about that.
Right.
All things are possible through salvage.
That's right. I like it. It's a catchy tune. And then in 3039, they hired on with the Free Rosalhag Republic to train militia and repel pirates, which places them squarely in the Rosalhag part of space in the periphery, you know, just for pirates. They're about to have a bad day. They really are. So that is them. Oh, jumping forward unfortunately. But that's them kind of in a nutshell. The other sources that we have for them are the Wolf Clan source book that came out in October of 91. Still I don't
need to get a copy of if anybody's listening and
yeah, wants to send it I would love to have a physical copy of it and the Jade Falcon.
Yeah, I've got a PDF.
I love the covers of those. They were in Technical Readout 3050 Revised that came out in 1996. Mm-hmm. Probably a notable pilot in there. I don't know exactly what, but then they have a full page spread in the Combat Manual Mercenaries on page 40 that came out in 2016. And so that is where we get most of their lore. Unless the 20 year update had some of that information, but I also have not gotten a copy of that yet. So, those are the four sources that we have for them. Unfortunately, there's no lore, but you know what? Again, like salvage, through Shrapnel Magazine, all things are possible. So maybe we'll get a story about them someday.
That would be phenomenal. Like if any of the authors are listening and want to knock around some ideas for stories, like I am all about it. I will send you coffee for days. and that would be so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be awesome.
We could play on, Why am I blanking on our favorite digital tabletop?
Oh yeah. Megamech or
Megamech.
yeah,
Yeah.
Megamech.
I mean, geez. We could play some fun stuff on Megamech and make up some
Absolutely.
lore. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. But yeah, so they unfortunately came to an early demise in 3050 as one of the first units to face Clan Wolf. They were
Oops.
unprepared and were utterly destroyed.
No surprise to anyone except
No
for them.
surprise. Although, you know what? I think that we could definitely say Clan Wolf probably had respect for their
Oh yeah.
tenacity and took some bondsmen.
Oh
And
yeah.
so they live on in Clan Wolf, I guess. We'll say that.
They for sure do, and in my mind, because they're so sneaky, I think they weren't actually destroyed.
You know, they might not have been. They might not have been. That is one of the things we'll get to here in a minute with the like tabletop play or campaign play. They have special rules for literally hiding in plain sight, and so yeah, I never know. They could be out there somewhere. But you know what? Let's look at a few things first here. You have some painted minis, and it goes right along with the kind of paint scheme that you've shown already. And so let's look at that, and then we'll talk about a proposed force pack. What would be an ideal
Yes.
force pack for the Glory Warriors? But I definitely wanted to show off your amazing paint jobs here. First, if you looked at if you saw the thumbnail, Dan has this amazing picture of a dropship that has the
It's the drop
landscape.
ship. It's
It is the
their
dropship. I love it.
captured command's drop
Yeah.
ship.
It has the painted landscape on it, and it looks fantastic. Dan, you did a great
Thank
job.
you. There's actually four landscapes on it. Well, there's three, soon to be four.
Oh, really?
So,
So like just as you turn
yes.
it kind of thing?
Yes.
Fantastic.
So the story is, I got into more art in 2019, 2020. My mom introduced me to nature journaling. So,
Okay.
like I'm an engineer by trade and training and was always intimidated by art and thought it had to look good. But I finally found a guy named John Muir Laws through my mom, who is a naturalist, and he's like, just record your observations using art as a medium, but record data. And the more you do that, the better it's gonna look, but the point isn't pretty pictures. I was like,
Yeah,
finally.
that's an engineering
So I
mindset right
started
there. Yeah.
doing landscapes in watercolor, and I loved that. And when I started getting back into BattleTech, I was like, why don't just combine these things. And so that's where the Glory Warriors fit in. It was like, oh wait, I can literally have a unit in the lore that paints landscapes on their mechs. So let's just do nature journaling on
On
BattleTech
their
minis.
mechs, yeah.
So every
Yeah.
mini that I can, the dropship being one, I will literally paint the environment that I see on the mini. So right there, you're seeing the Wright Observatory where I'm sitting, looking out over the lava fields towards the Three Sisters in Oregon. And the Three Sisters are what I painted on
That's
the
awesome.
dropship. And
Yeah.
then on one other side, we have the Oregon coast. I painted last Christmas sitting on a beach for 2 hours, which was just
That's
really cool
fun.
as like
Yeah.
gray, rain clouds everywhere. And then we have the painted hills in the desert on another face. And then the last remaining face, I think I'm gonna do in a couple weeks. We're gonna go up to Multnomah Falls. I'm gonna paint that on. So then we'll have the four biomes of Oregon
That's
on the
cool.
Glory Warriors Command dropship. So we'll have mountains, we'll have
Man.
ocean, desert, and forest.
That's great. I love that. I do love too that you're painting them there.
Yeah.
Because you shared the folder with me that had these in it, and I wasn't gonna share it, but I liked the video where it's like, oh, you're on the mountains like painting this.
Yeah. Feel free to share it. This was
Yeah,
super
it was
fun.
so cool. That was so cool. So yeah, I love that for sure. And that you're painting again what you observe. I love that.
Yeah.
But you
I'll add
not
in
just on that. Yeah, go ahead.
The video of me painting on the beach.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. When you get that, yeah. So, but not just on the dropship. Although I'm sure that was an easier one to practice on larger, much larger canvas. But you have,
it's a little more intimidating because it's flat. Well, it's curved, actually.
Well, that's true. That's true. but you know, like mechs are tiny, so that's got to be a little difficult. But you have a fantastic lance here, of a raven, a hunchback, an enforcer, and a victor that all have landscapes on them, and they look amazing. I have some individual pics of here that you sent of each one. If you're listening to this episode, this is one of the premier episodes. Sorry. You should go watch on the YouTube channel, because these mechs are painted so well with really cool landscapes, and so you need to see them. It's youtube.com/@TheMercenaryStarPodcast or @MercenaryStarPodcast, excuse me. There'll be a link in there.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Victor and the Enforcer.
These are so fun.
What are the scenes that you painted here?
Yeah, so this lance started out as this was the beginning of Bear Cavalry paints, of just getting into experimenting with other paint brands first. These were all painted with Army Painter Fanatic.
Okay.
Because I was trying that out. I was like, okay, this is my baseline because everybody loves it, and I haven't tried it before. And my good friends up at shout out to Board Bard Games in Portland gave me the mega set to try out.
Oh, great.
As a sponsorship, like, investment to get the company started. And so painted these, and I started out with the Victor, and that one is actually a Bob Ross painting.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I was asking, because I was like, which one of these is a Bob Ross painting?
Yeah, so that one's Lieutenant Bob Ross. I actually followed along with the Bob Ross tutorial.
That's great. I love that.
So those of you listening, if you're in the Mercenary Star Podcast Discord or ours, Bear Cavalry, if I get 10 people to sign up for it at Adepticon, I will do a paint along Bob Ross painting on Battle Mechs class.
Awesome. Awesome.
So if we can get that before the holidays, we get 10 people saying, yeah, I'd pay $60 for that, I'll put up a listing and I'll do it.
Yeah. You heard that here. I would say better go to your Discord, which I think is now on the website, a little easier to find, right?
Yeah, a lot easier to find.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's in every email we send, so yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, absolutely. So it started out with the Victor with the Almighty Mountains on it. And then the Raven was really fun. That was my first outdoor mech. So before the dropship even happened.
Oh, that was the first one? That's awesome.
Yeah, this is the first one. I remember sitting down next to the Willamette River here in Eugene, where I live, and sitting underneath this nice little overhang next to what is now City Hall, looking at the river and the forest across on a beautiful sunny day, and that's the scene on the Raven.
Oh, that's so cool.
And in the folder there, you can share around. I have the in progress shot of the Raven there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Hunchback and the Enforcer are actually from the same spot on two different days, one on a sunny day, one on a cloudy day.
Nice.
So that's,
I was gonna say, I did the Hunchback definitely was reminiscent of the Raven for sure. Mm-hmm. And then the Enforcer on the cloudy day, I do like that it's got kind of more the white clouds on the top. So
yeah, so it was really kind of fun where they're all three of those are the same river, the Willamette River, different days, slightly different views. So that was super fun. That's how my first lance the Glory Warriors got started. And then let's see if you got a picture of it. I need to get a better picture of it in there somewhere.
I was gonna say, I don't know if I had any others. I had the pictures of the
the ice ferret. Stuff, so. The ice ferret is one you gotta put up there. Oh man.
I'll get it here. I can edit while we go live. That one
is really fun. This was one of my first full minis painted with only Bear Cavalry paints. And it is the view of Blue Pool in Oregon. Which I'll show you a link here that you can share as well. And I, this one has a funny story of like, I wanted to paint this in situ, but I literally brought everything to paint it on a hike with my son's Boy Scout troop, except the mech.
Oh no!
No, except the paint. I brought the mech, but not the paint.
I was like, what? That's the worst.
So anyway,
let's see. Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
I had the intention to paint it at Blue Pool. I just bring the paint because I am forgetful occasionally. So anyway, that's Blue Pool. But yeah, painted that on the Ice Ferret, which was really fun. And that got me into a bit of the
now that people can see the Ice Ferret. So
there we go. I'm creating some lore around the Glory Warriors that they did not indeed get completely wiped out, but they went into hiding. And after the Clan Invasion, they started to pick up some Clan tech. So we've got the Ice Ferret from our Ghost Bear friends.
Of course.
They also picked up
a Kodiak.
Not a Kodiak yet.
Oh, okay. Not okay.
Yet.
Well, I saw a painted one that was in progress there, so I was curious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. It's yeah, that one is in progress. They've got themselves a wolfhound, which I really like. They got a wolfhound with Wolf Mountain on it. It's not done yet, so
I see what you did there.
And then they got a Firefly.
Okay, nice.
Which was my favorite mech in MechWarrior 3. Load up a Firefly with all flamers and no heat sinks.
Nice. I see a theme. I see a theme with you, Dan. Lots of fire and heat.
Yes.
It's great. It's great.
If it goes boom, I'm there for it. So, so that's, and then the quick draw of good old Kent Clark is not painted really at all yet. So I'm looking for some inspiration there.
Yeah.
I was saving him,
I feel like he needs a sunset. I don't know why. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So I think I owe myself a painting retreat early December and just go out in the woods somewhere.
There you go.
And paint up good old Kent Clark.
No, I look forward to seeing that one. So
if anybody's listening and happens to be in Oregon after this goes live in Thanksgiving, shoot me a message and we can go hang out in the woods and BattleTech.
I mean, there's a whole new thing right there. Like, you know, I know people will meet up in game shops to go paint together, right? Obviously controlled environment, but that's, I think you might be onto something, a new painting excursions out into nature to paint
plein air miniature painting.
That's right. I like it. We do have some more pictures on the video of the Fafnir and the Battlemaster.
Yeah.
The Atlas. It looks like there's a shadow cat in the background there, and then
there is a shadow cat in
down.
The background.
I don't know what that is, but
yeah. I think that was might be the Summoner or Stormcrow, or it could be the Grizzly.
Who knows? Another great bear totem mech.
Yeah. Or no. Grizzly. Yeah, it's the. It's the star. I can never remember the actual force pack names, but it's got a Direwolf, a Summoner, Shadowcat, Stormcrow, and I think it's a Grizzly. Yeah,
it's great. Awesome. Well, then I had to have a couple close ups. One of your Atlas, of course, and then one of the Awesome as well. And then the last one pictures that I had your Plan Star with the Marauder 2C, the Stone Rhino. The baboon, that force pack, I'm assuming is what it was. And it just looks incredible, as well as your, is that your large Timberwolf?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. That one was nuts. So, okay. The story behind the Ghost Bears there. So, I started painting Ghost Bear Alpha Galaxy. I thought that they didn't quite look cool enough on the camo specs. No offense to the camo specs guys, but
that's
like,
okay.
Why is the Alpha Galaxy, like, man, we got to zhuzh this up a little bit. It's not just Snowfall or Stars or whatever it is. I couldn't even really tell.
Yeah.
I'm like, in my mind, it's got to be an actual galaxy.
Yeah,
so I did this little kind of galaxy scheme with gold accents everywhere. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's do other stellar.
It looks incredible. So, and I also was thinking my, you know, good friend Brent of the Of Mechs and Men podcast, who is a huge Novacat fan. They have a similar paint scheme that has like the galaxy on it, and so I was like, he will love these. So
and I'll get to it in a minute about the planetary nebula and how that's a lot easier to paint than it looks. The second one that I did, though, that baboon and the Kodiak behind it, the ad hoc star, I actually painted, it's called the Eagle Nebula, and a portion of it is the Pillars of Creation. It's this really cool nebula that's like hundreds of light years long. Like, it's impossibly huge in real life. And I'm like, that would look really damn cool on a mech.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on a Kodiak. And it turned out pretty nice. I actually showed some people from NASA at a convention for my day job, and they're like, yeah, that's the Eagle Nebula. I was like,
that's awesome.
So I was like, well, what other stellar phenomena can we do on a mech star? So that's where the assault mechs got the planetary nebula on them. And it's literally just, you know how when you're airbrushing and you overthin your paint and it spiderwebs on you? I did that on purpose.
Nice.
So started out with the red, then the orange, then the yellow, then the greens, then the blues, going smaller, smaller, smaller. So it's actually a really easy effect to pull off if you can intentionally screw up your airbrushing.
There you go. I mean, like, I feel like I intentionally do it every time. So
yeah, exactly.
Unintentionally, exactly. Intentionally.
So, I know. I was like, wait a minute. So I, if anybody is wanting to like build your confidence in airbrushing, get yourself some plastic spoons.
Ah, okay.
And practice on those.
Yeah,
because they're a nice curved surface.
That's a good.
They work really well for practicing on mech hulls.
Yeah.
And I did like 10 of them with different combinations. These ones and also the Pillars of Creation, I started doing colored underpainting. So they're actually base coated in purple.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. And I highlighted them, did a zenithal highlight with a kind of a peachy color, and then did an ink over them. It's like a phthalo green ink to get that effect.
Nice, to get the kind of like two-tone.
Yeah.
It looks really so good.
And it's like easier than it looks. That's why most of my paint schemes are a lot easier than they look. At least.
No, that's great. I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Is to always have something that is easy to do, but looks like you took a lot more time on it.
Yeah, I mean, they did take plenty of time, to be fair, but they like the base effect is a lot easier. And then I get a little nuts with it, like the stone rhino. I ended up actually freehanding the unit insignia on it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because I can't stand water slide decals. Like, I've never been able to do them well. So I was like, well, I'm just going to freehand the Ghostberry logo because I'm a masochist.
I mean, it's pretty identifiable. It's pretty identifiable there.
I mean, it doesn't look good as the flying piranha or whatever they are, the people who actually do water slide decals.
But, you know,
if you squint,
you're looking at it from 3 feet away, you can tell.
Exactly. Looks great from 3 feet away.
That's the whole thing. So.
But I will say, the Timberwolf, though, the museum scale Timberwolf.
Oh, yeah.
I did nail the freehand wolf logo twice.
Yeah, I saw that. It looked great. It looks fantastic.
And that took a month and a half to paint. I mean, that was probably one of the
hardest. I have not done mine yet. I do love that you went with the artwork from, let's see, what was it on the cover of the compendium, I think?
MechWarrior 2.
Or MechWarrior 2? Okay, yeah. It may have been intentionally similar that they did back then, but yeah, I haven't done mine yet. I still have it because my goal is to do some more practicing and then do a custom paint scheme that kind of goes along with the Mercenary Star theme that I can also put inside my custom computer case here
yes.
and have it standing there with similar colors matching, you know. So
that's such a great idea.
Because I've got big glass panels on the front of my computer. So
you know what? I'm really glad you said that, because I'm as I mentioned earlier, I'm building a gaming PC, and that would be really dang cool to make a I think maybe a
diorama bear
cavalry as a unit
in
the Ghost Bear clan with a Timberwolf.
Ooh,
because I have two more museum scale Timberwolves.
Awesome. Yeah, you definitely should. You definitely should.
Yeah, but this one was really special. For a number of reasons. I had intended it to be a competition piece, but didn't end up actually finishing it for the Gen Con painting competition. So it ended up being actually a gift to Randall Bills at PAX.
Oh, awesome.
Just as a thank you for all he's done for the BattleTech community. And well also deserved. Show off for Paint Live, let's be honest.
Oh yeah, we gotta introduce it, right? Yeah.
So it's got our red ochre mud on there, which went really well with the MechWarrior 2 game intro cinematic desert.
Yeah, I do have some of that. It's not the ochre mud, but I do have the My Name is Mud, which if you out there need a mud texture, amazing, amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it'll work. I haven't actually done this yet, but again, message me if anybody wants to do this and play around. I used to use the GW mud texture as a crackle medium for my ice bases for Ghost Bears. I haven't done that with ours yet, and I
think that would be good. Yeah, I should try that for sure.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah. Well, no, not yet. We'll get to that in a second with the bear when we talk about bear cavalry, because I know it's a pretty special combination of things that you use for the mud texture, but we'll do that in a minute. okay, let's go to our ideal force pack. And I have some mechs here that were kind of some that I had and some from even inspired by your pictures there. But also, I was searching through the Rosselhog and Mercenary MUL. Because they didn't have any mechs other than the Quick Draw that were named.
Yeah. Well, I literally had nothing else in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going off of just that. And so I came up with this Lance plus vehicle, because that's what they're kind of doing now, is doing the Lance plus a vehicle. Mm-hmm. So obviously the Quick Draw. Gotta throw that in there because that's the only named unit we have. And especially because the 5K is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. My dogs are barking here. That's probably my BattleTech Aces box showing up.
I hope so, for all of our sakes.
It is. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pause the recording for a second, and I'm going to run to the front door.
Yay! Oh man, I just came up with a phenomenal idea. As my brain is wont to do when I have a little bit too much time on my hands. Yay! Oh, yeah. You are going to have so much fun with that. I'm excited for you. Oh, yes. Yeah, I don't either, but I am excited to dip back into it because I want to build more terrain. And let's be honest, Classic BattleTech is not a war game, it's a board game. Someone told me that and I almost punched them, but they're right. So,
I haven't been talking. What was I doing? How long was I not talking? That's the real question.
You got your Aces box, I think.
probably. Yeah. I just happened to look down at the levels. You were talking, so you were fine.
Oh. Okay.
But yes, Aces box. I'm super excited. I was saying I'm going to do an unboxing video and then also record probably some gameplay with my kids. Do a cooperative.
Lovely.
That is all thanks to Fortress Miniatures and Games. And as well as I showed earlier on the screen, some Red Baron Bear Cavalry Paint. Mm-hmm. I mean, can't forget that shout out. So,
yay.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm fun excited little...
to see what you do with that. Tirita fans rejoice.
Yes. Oh, so actually, I can tell you what I'm going to do with it. The first project, which also, too, by the way, I don't know where you put it on the new website, but your Bear Cavalry has a really cool project form that is great that I'm definitely going to use and probably show off later. But
the journal. Yeah, you get that as part of the welcome email series. You get it as a free PDF download.
That's what it was. I was like, I knew I got it somewhere, but I couldn't remember. But yeah, so my Trogdor, obviously here. I have another one here, and I'm going to do it in an all black, but I'm going to make his big beefy arm here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use this Red Lovely. Baron red on it.
I will say, so if you're painting red over black, you should put in your next order with Bobby soon for a bottle of Sekigahara.
Okay.
Cuz it is a wonderful base coat for really bright reds.
Awesome. I did see
it's like a brownish red.
Yeah, yeah. But it brings it out, I'm sure. I'll have to get that for sure. Because I printed two, and I wanted to have one that was the Trogdor colors, and then I wanted one that was going to be like custom, like,
of course,
mech monster of some kind. So mm-hmm. I thought about even leaning into a little bit of the Hell's Horses theme with the flames, cool. I may add a little elements of that, cool. But I definitely wanted to use the red as kind of the primary on the arm. So
I love it.
Okay. Well, hey, now let's move on back to because we were interrupted by the mail guy. Let's go back to our Glory Warriors Force Pack. And so, yes, the quick draw was there. I picked the Hermes 2 4K. Commonly referred to as the Hermes 3, because it was a Rossel Hog Mercenary MUL choice. And I was like, fire, that's another good option, right? Especially now that I know that you like fire so much, I think that's classic.
Yes.
It's
funny how we don't have the Hermes is basically a fire starter better.
Yeah, a little, it's a 40 ton version, kind of.
40 ton fire starter.
I liked that. Then there's a mongoose, and I thought, this is on the MUL, but also it makes sense because Rosselhog was part of the Draconis Combine, and the Draconis Combine in the War 3039 got a bunch of Comstar mechs. So, hey, you got a little fast, speedy boy that's a little, comparable to a locust that's not a locust. So,
yeah, exactly. A locust, but not a locust.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Locust, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, everybody loves the Locust, but, sometimes you want the feeling of a Locust, but, like...
you want to look cooler than a Locust.
It's got to look cooler, and let's be honest, the name Locust has some connotations to it of, like, I'm not a plague,
Right. And then I had also picked the Enforcer before I saw your picture of the Enforcer. And I was like, well, that's perfect. We got to throw him in there.
The Enforcer's a fantastic.
Fantastic
addition.
Because, again, I was trying to keep everything below 60 tons. The Quick Draw is 60. Hermes 2 is 40. Mongoose is 25. And the Enforcer's 50. So a great medium lance there, I felt like. And then for a vehicle, I didn't really know, and I think this may or may not be in one of the mercenary boxes, but I've forgotten. But it did get new artwork in the recognition guides. Those PDFs that they would release that had about had so many. And so if you look it up on Sarna, it has some great art. I love the new art for it. It's a heavy hover, but it's only 50 tons. Not that that necessarily mattered. They didn't say anything about vehicles, but it's got a fusion engine and it's pretty heavily armed. It's like a large laser, some SRMs, an LRM-10, and some machine guns. And so, yeah, It's a speedy little hover.
Again, I thought it would be a Savannah their speediness. Master.
I mean, hey, you can't go wrong with a Savannah Master.
It's like, a swarm of Savannah Masters. I was gonna
say, because when you have one, you have 100. So
you have 100.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah. Tell me
another one that could go well yours, nicely. Yeah. Would be a Hatchet Man.
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely. Gotta love a Hatchet Man. It would be definitely era appropriate for sure. You know, and again, throw salvage all things are possible. They were fighting some Hatchet Men, I'm sure, in the in the 30-39 War of Independence for Ra's al Hug there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be good. But you know, your Raven would also be great.
Yeah, the Raven. I mean, that's why I picked it. It's like it's a perfect little recon mech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Raven has so many fun variants too.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously it was an early one that we all really liked and saw in like the early Mech Warrior games, the Mech Commander game.
Yeah.
It was a prime early mech for that. Games. Very, very important.
Yep.
So, but yeah, so anything else? Any other suggestions? I mean, again, you know, obviously you have your Lance. The Hunchback would be right.
Hunchback is always great. I mean, you can't go wrong with laser spam. You know, especially when you're low on ammo. Hunchback is that 6P that has all the lasers?
Ooh. I would have to look, but maybe.
I can't remember. Anyway, there's one that has a ridiculous amount of lasers that's always really fun. I could do a slight aside into just the miniature side of this. If anyone from Catalyst is listening that has any power at all, please God, make magnetizable variants for your weapons loadouts for mechs.
That would be fantastic. That would be, I mean, there's a huge group that would love that for sure.
I would buy all of them.
I I don't know how much you've been keeping up, but they did acquire Ironwind Metals.
Yeah.
While personally, I'm not necessarily as thrilled with the price increase for the metals, I think the long-term ability that it's going to give them to have some production here in the U.S. and maybe it's do really some more important. Custom things like that will be important.
Yeah.
And so it gives them just that
weapon packs
footprint.
Or arm packs or something through IWM, which would be really more in their wheelhouse for the modern gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I love big chunky boys, but since their advantage is being able to do smaller runs quicker,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it only makes sense to do upgrade packs.
Yeah.
With different variants and things, but.
Yeah. Unfortunately right now you have to either drill into the plastic of the metal and put in your own magnets, which that metal, the Ironwind metals model is a good metal. But it doesn't, it's not magnetized. So there's that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
what I saw at Gen Con got me thinking about this. There was another mech game from China or something, but their whole thing was, it was,
modular
on sprues, but they actually had spaces for magnets built into the sculpt.
Yeah.
It didn't come with magnets, but it came with a spot for one.
Sure.
I was like, this is amazing. So you could literally do battle damage. You can take, you know, swap parts around as you're building your force. Like, this is what Battletech needs.
That would be pretty awesome. That would be pretty awesome. Especially in Classic when you can like, oh, well, I've blown off your arm. Okay, well, your arm's on the ground.
Right?
There it is. That, you know, I mean, I've seen tokens for that kind of stuff where you could be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go pick up this limb and, you know, that's over in this hex. We just had to remember back in the day. We didn't have any way of.
Had to remember, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, there's a destroyed mech over there.
An extra level of just, if you also had a little magnet in the hand actuator part of, you know, things like our Hatchet Man, where like, I am actually picking up this limb and beating you to death with it.
For sure. That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so any other thoughts on other mechs for the
Tiger's
horse
head's
guy.
pretty solid, and you gave me some more ideas of ways to spend my money with Catalyst lately.
Well, good, good. That's what we're here
Or
for.
Fortress, all right,
Fortress, yes, of
Bobby. I'm gonna
course.
send. I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you a wish list. I need
Yeah,
armies.
absolutely. I know, I do too.
The other thing I was thinking, though, it would be kind of funny, would be a company of urban mechs.
I mean, they're light mechs.
They're light.
I could see it. I mean, it would be funny for sure. Maybe in a future, in that Glory Warriors past the clan invasion, they might have one,
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
So
Right? Like they came across a,
a
or
warehouse.
maybe a warehouse full of
Yes,
urban
the
mechs.
clans discarded a whole warehouse full of
Like,
urban mechs and they just took them. So
yeah, I
the
mean, it
mobile
kind of writes
turrets,
itself.
it kind of does.
Mobile turrets.
I love it. That's so funny. Okay, well, let's talk about how tabletop strategy within this is definitely going to be a long episode. I'm not sad about it at all because this is fantastic, but I do know you're on a time limit, so
I got a half an hour, so we're fine.
okay, good. Okay. So campaign play, obviously in the combat manual Mercenaries, they give some direction. So I think it's a little easier to understand how to play them. And considering they're a light and medium mech unit, then it's going to be a little limited. You're not going to be just throwing them front and center at the bad guys.
No, and if you do, you're going to have a bad time, which is what happened the first time I played them, because I didn't actually play to their strengths and I got wiped out.
But yeah, so how first of all, how have you played them? And then we'll talk about the special
Mostly
rules that
not
they have.
well. Mostly not
Well,
well.
let's be honest. That's all of us, right?
Yeah, I like to play as like a hit and fade, where I'll play with the Raven and the Ice Ferret and some of those faster mechs as flankers and distractions to try and bait my opponent into coming into range of my Wolfhound 2's large laser and the quick draw. And then
Love
hit
it.
them and run fast and try not to die.
Yeah.
The other thing is that as their skills suggest, is playing to their strengths with the hidden units.
Yeah.
So if you've got some buddies who like to play with some interesting flavor, you could do some fun things with landmines
Oh, okay.
and like other hidden booby traps that you fade into the background and oops, blew off your leg.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of like the Khatotin jungle fighters of the BattleTech world, which is why I love them,
I do
because that was
like it.
my first 40K army.
I got you. Okay, makes sense. Yeah, so in the combat manual, it has these couple special rules which I thought were super fun. Any turn where the Glory Warriors are outnumbered 2 to 1 or more, whether by PV or by number of units, because this was written for Alpha Strike. But classic works too. Any warrior mech that ends a turn 10 inches or more from an enemy, so that would be approximately 5 hexes. So if you were like in classic, about 5 hexes away, they may become a hidden unit. Basically, they can just run 10, they can run 5 hexes away or 10 inches away, and they can just, oh, now we're hidden. So can't be seen. Now you have to end your turn there, but it's like, what the heck? I can't see them anymore. I know they're right there, but they're gone. Can't target them. That's fantastic. Yeah, it says if the terrain permits hiding a mech under or per the hidden mech's rule, if at the beginning of any turn the odds shift 2 to 1 or more in the warrior's favor, the ability is lost and any hidden glory warriors become visible. So if they regain numerical balance or superiority even, then they are no longer hidden. But it can be regained on any turn where they again are outnumbered 2 to 1. Yeah, and it counts as a force's command ability is what it counts as in Alpha Strike. So really cool. I think for flavor, that would be a lot of fun. You know, I feel like in classic, it might be hard to be do the outnumbered 2-1, but I think you could. I think you could just be maybe if it's outnumbered, if they're just outnumbered, you know, they just could start hiding. Yeah. Because, 2-1 in classic is much harder, or you're done. The game's done at that point. So in Alpha Strike, it may not be, but. But yeah, and then also I love the SPAs and information on Major Kent Clark. He gets upgraded to Major when he becomes a CO. But I also love that it just talks about him being a stealthy guy, both in and out of the cockpit. He like sneaks up on his own officers and soldiers to test. It says to test those in his command. Like he just sneaks up on them. Just to mess with him,
right? Like, like he's you know, he's Rambo, you know, or or Sly Marbo if you're a Catechins fan like I am.
That's so fun. So, that's so funny.
Ooh, you know, I should give his quick draw like a red bandana.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. So, that's some fun ways to incorporate their flavor into tabletop play. So. But yeah, anything else you want to say on the Glory Warriors?
No, I'm, you know, it's funny. You've actually inspired me to paint my own mechs. I was like, man, I need to, I've been with our company going, feels like a million miles an hour, and working on other, other painting projects for other IPs. I really want to get back to painting some Battletech.
Yeah. It's always there, right? You don't have to worry about like, 10th edition messing it up. You don't have to worry about it. Like you can always come back to Battletech. So
it's like a warm blanket. It is. It's always there, or your dog, you know, it's always happy to see you.
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely. I like that. Well, okay. Let's transition though. And let's talk about your company, Bear Cavalry Paints, because they are relatively new in the hobby space. Like I said, I've been following you guys for a lot longer than I don't honestly remember how I found you. I don't know if it was an Instagram ad, maybe. Did you do those at one point?
I've literally only paid for one.
Okay. Was it recent or was it in the past? Like a long time ago. Recent. Okay. Well then it wasn't that then. I don't know. I honestly don't remember how, but I found you guys and again that love of bear iconography. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to look at this paint brand. But yeah, so let's talk about Bear Cavalry Paints. I have, you know, an image up, one of your marketing images here. And I'll show off the website here.
Big shout out to our director of marketing, Lila Mev, who is amazing. She did this.
Heard nothing but good things.
It's incredible. Our artists that we work with, David Richards, did all the bears and the initial bottle artwork. I mean, he just did a phenomenal job.
I love it.
Found him through a buddy of mine, Jerry Hawthorne, who wrote the Mice and Mystics, board game.
Yes. That's awesome.
So Jerry and I became friends a few years ago. And when we were getting started, I was like, hey, Jerry, you know any good graphic designers? Like, graphic designers? Oh, David. He did the layout on Mice and Mystics, so that was really fun.
Okay, that's great.
We got to work with a guy who worked on one of my favorite board games. So,
yeah. Well, so yeah, let's get into some questions here then. So obviously, this was not your first passion. Okay, you or not your first career. But why start a paint company in 2023? When did you start it?
Yeah, 2023. Okay. Which was we moved to Oregon from Indiana in 2022, so that meant we couldn't go to Gen Con anymore, at least unfortunately.
Sad. So, yes. I understand. I'm in Oklahoma, so it's hard to get out there.
Yeah, 2,200 miles away with a family of five, you know, wife's in grad school. So well, let's make our own Gen Con. Let's go to every game store we could find between Eugene and Corvallis. And we're poking around Funnigan Games in South Eugene, and my wife pulls out this box of D&D terrain. It's like flat pack, but it pops up. It's really cool. Ooh,
nice.
Like, this is really innovative. Like, you've got good ideas. Why don't you do something like this? And I was going to buy a wet palette. Like, why does nobody make these out of recycled plastic? Come on. And I got to thinking the next thing further. It was like, does anybody make like sustainable hobby paint? And I looked around and nobody did. I was like, huh. So the only thing I could find was a company down in Ashland who we've done some work with called Natural Earth Paints. And they make a plant-based acrylic paint for fine art.
Okay.
And hey, can you make this thinner and in a dropper bottle for us nerds who paint four dollies? And they're like, well, that'd be a great project for you to do if you want to start a business. But we got too much going on. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, I guess I'm starting a paint company.
That's awesome. So, and like the thought, okay, yeah, I can do that. So
yeah, because I've started a couple of companies before. You know, did custom furniture making for a bit. Did a podcast and writing company. Yeah, so I've been kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall. Tried to do coaching and writing. So not my first rodeo was starting a company. But this has been like my background's mechanical engineering, and I've been painting minis since I was 13 or something. And so physical things always draw me. And mm-hmm. I was like looking for a way to make something I can really put my hands on and enjoy with my family and bring a smile to other people's families' faces. Like, I get to start a paint company. This is kind of cool and really scary. It's like,
yeah,
there's tons of paint brands out there, and it seems like a new one's popping up every 30 seconds.
Yeah, I hear about new ones all the time. But yeah, you know, there's some that stick with you. And like,
right,
this has definitely stuck with me, and I think that it's catching on with a lot of people. So
it is, and it's been one weird divine appointment after another. Like, you know, I don't believe in coincidence anymore. I believe it's just, you know, I didn't want to start something or build something just to make a name for myself or just to make a little money. Like, if I wanted to make money, I wouldn't be making hobby paint. Let's be honest.
Right. As an engineer, there's better ways.
There's much better ways. but I, you know, it just kind of felt God's call to this. Right. And,
awesome.
You know, it was like, oh, I get to play with this and, you know, just get to experiment. And if it blows up, it will be not due to anything I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I will partner with people in this. I will partner with God in this, but it's not going to be me doing it.
Yeah.
And like, until I literally get the green light of I can't do anything but make this big, I'm going to keep it as small as possible and take the lowest seat.
Yeah.
And just be a servant and be a student. And so that's how we've grown this thing is, you know, just learning. Like I was playing around with inks and pigments and all sorts of stuff, and I walk into Forest Technical Coatings here in Eugene and trying to just buy whatever leftover colorant they've got in the back, and they're like, hey, you should talk to this guy Tyler, he's done this before. I'm like, wait, there's a guy in the town that I live that has made a line of miniature paint before.
That's
are
awesome.
You crazy? And
again,
so,
that divine appointment, you know,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, so Tyler and I have a cup of coffee. We hit it off. He's a great guy and super smart. Been in the paint industry for 20 years. And I was like, all right, look, you make us the best red, yellow, and white in the world, and we've got something. And he did. First time out.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap. And like, I knew they were good. And then we started testing them out with other people. It really, really hit me when Aaron Lovejoy, who's just a really, really great painter and fantastic human, unprompted, we had a very clear no business talk in the hotel room agreement during Adepticon last year, but he wanted to try out our Red Baron. And he tries it out. He's like, holy shit, this is the best red I've ever used. I was like, wait, really? Are you serious? He's like, yeah, this is amazing.
Surprise.
Like, okay, like, game on. And then, you know, Miniac tries our yellows at Adepticon and goes, this is the best yellow dive, or maybe second best, whatever. He's like, one of the best yellows I've ever tried, and he's tried them all. I was like,
yeah,
okay. And Ninjan comes up to our table and starts doing wet blending with our yellows and blues and going, ooh, this is cool.
Yeah, I've seen some of his videos on it.
And so it's like Adepticon last year was really where we were like, all right, we can do this. This is going to be a thing. The imagery came from like, I wanted to feel, you pick up a bottle of some other paint brands and you're like, this is just a tool. Like the bottle itself is not fun. The
Sure.
brand is not fun. I don't particularly enjoy engaging with the brand
Yeah.
of a lot of the hobby out there. Like, I want someone to look at our bottles on a shelf and go, what the hell is that? Or, they show it to their mom and go, look at this. And their mom goes, I don't know about that, son. That looks a little bit weird. Like,
You want
I
the
want them to
weird.
feel like Christmas at a metal concert.
Yeah.
And we're really nailing that now. We're hitting our stride with our retailer racks that are going to be coming out this holiday season to a store near you, hopefully.
Fantastic.
I mean, they look so good.
Yeah.
And the name actually came from a meme that I found 15 years ago now, probably. But it was like these vaguely Soviet Cossack guys riding bears in kind of, it looks like a magic card art. And they're charging out of a forest in the winter with guns, and it says Bear Cavalry. Yeah, you're pretty much fucked.
Nice.
I was
Is
like,
it,
yes.
let's see, is it, was it this image? Because I did do a search.
See if I can find
I put it in our chat by chance. That was the most popular image that I saw when I searched Bear Cavalry
That's
just as an
oh,
image.
different chat. Different
Oh yeah,
chat.
sorry, just in our Discord.
I was in the recording chat. Let's see. Let's see. Open up a new Discord window here. So I don't accidentally get out of the
Ah,
recording here.
yes.
Let's see. Yeah, that's the one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So look for that same image, but with like the typical meme, text below it.
Yeah.
And you got it. Like, I don't know who did this art. I can't remember where I found it, but it's incredible. And it always made me laugh.
Yeah. I am showing it on the video as well. So for those watching the video, you now have the inspirational
Yeah.
knowledge
It's
there.
just so fun.
It is. It is.
So that's our spirit is like we want to be one of my other favorite brands is Patagonia for
Oh,
outdoor
yeah.
gear and stuff. And I actually got to meet the former CEO of Patagonia who really took it back in 2000 or 1998, I think, from a bunch of dirtbag climbers to a legit company that we know and love.
Yeah.
And I sat down with him and our executive team about a month ago and walked him through what we're doing. He's like, yeah, you guys are doing the Patagonia thing,
That's
which is
cool.
really cool to
In
hear.
the miniature paint space, which is,
Yeah,
yeah.
like that's what we want to be is the Patagonia for miniature paints, right? So our bottles are recyclable. They're made out of PET. When you're done with your Red Baron, you rinse it out, you can put it in your home recycling.
Awesome.
Our labels are made by an amazing company called Planet Green Printing, and they're actually compostable. So if you see them peeling
Nice.
off your bottle after you rinse it out, like that's why.
Yeah.
They're meant to break down. We are working on some interesting packaging ideas that are also compostable.
Okay.
And our mug that you alluded to earlier, the reason our warehouse is where it is right now, we rent from a coffee roastery called Cafe
Yes.
Pecori, and it's made with recycled house paint and leftover coffee grounds.
Absolutely. I heard that. I heard you talk about that, and I was like, that's fantastic.
And that's where the Necro Bear came from, because I was like,
Yeah.
it's the most eco-friendly of the magical disciplines. So,
Reusing,
reduce,
yes.
reanimate,
I love that.
recycle.
I do love that. Yeah, so when I came back to BattleTech and I bought the Game of Armored Combat was, the obviously the first and only box that we had with new sculpts in it. I took the catapult and I actually did a Kung's Armée paint scheme for the, I can't remember the unit now, but one of the Ross Ul Hog units that's the kind of white and navy blue with like gold trim or whatever. And I used, I didn't have any basing material, so I used coffee grounds. So, I you know, use some glue, put it on there, and it works fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Yeah. I do.
Yeah. And it actually smells like coffee for a little while.
It does. It does. It did. Yeah.
It's been really fun to see Ninjan playing with it, because he's actually done some things with it that I'm like, that's really cool. And our team hasn't even tried out before.
Yeah.
You can thin it.
Okay.
So you can thin it down with water and put it in little puddles and pools and around the bases of feet or walls or things like that, so that it's like where mud would naturally settle instead of just glomming it on, which it works great for.
Sure.
Gives
it that extra texture.
It's really fun. And then we're coming out with shades for Black Friday, and as part of the Ninjan bundle, we have one there that's like a purpley brown.
Yeah, I saw the shade. Ninjan bundle. But you said coming out for Black Friday, you're gonna have some more.
Yes, we have one called Black Fire.
Is this a have you mentioned this anywhere else? I've not heard of it yet, but
I know. As with a lot of things, being a small startup, we're about 6 months behind.
Sure. No, that's okay. That's okay. No,
so we're working on catching up.
I'm just curious if this is like an announcement, like, you know, like, hey, you've heard it here. Black Friday. Get ready for some shades. Yes,
we intended it to be here first all along.
Or wherever else you said it already.
not many places. Not nearly enough places.
I'm excited. Yeah,
So Black Friday, we've got some really fun things coming out. You can get one of our ammo cans, which is our full range of just the colors, plus a streak and grime. They're normally $300. You can get them for $200.
Oh, nice. That's a great deal. That's a lot of paint.
So we've got that. We've got our color cartridges. I used to call them bolter bags, but I don't think it's viewed by GW.
I understand.
So our color cartridges are going to be on sale. We also have...
That's great. I got to pick up one of those.
Only 10 of these. If you really need to cover a 4x8 table for Alpha Strike and your friend's table and your driveway with mud...
Oh my gosh.
A gallon of mud.
That's crazy.
And we'll put your name on the top. We're going to put a little name tag on here, and it will literally have your name on it.
That's funny. That's awesome. So
those are only $200. For a gallon of mud. I mean, normally it's $6 or $8 for 2 ounces. So, I mean, it's a great deal. If your gaming group says, we all need mud, you can get a gallon.
There you go. And there you
share.
Go. Community mud.
But we're only doing 10 of them. what else we got? We've got a couple of different basing bundles. We've got the Skirmish and the Battlefield. The Skirmish is $30. You know, nice little kit with some mud and some pigment in it.
Yeah.
And then the Battlefield bundle is basically everything weathering and texturing. So it's all the muds, it's all the shades, it's all the pigments that we do, and a couple of highlight colors in there as well to dry brush things on. So yeah, got lots of good stuff coming.
Awesome.
And if you haven't seen it yet, on our website or in our emails, if you're subscribed to our email list, which I hope you are, because that's the only way you're going to get our Black Friday deals when they come out.
Okay, yeah.
Our email subscribers will get them an hour before they go live on Instagram.
There you go.
So, yeah. But we have a Spotify playlist for all of our color names.
I saw the link to the Spotify list. I have not listened to them yet. But yes. That's exciting. That's exciting.
It's fantastic. Basically, everything that we name our colors after is either a metal song or a historical battle or both. So there's a lot of Sabaton in there.
awesome.
Yeah,
it makes sense. You've got your Red Baron. You've got your which is, you know, in multiple things, honestly, like both music and historical.
Yeah.
I do love the names.
A lot of people ask why our black is called your ultimate cup of coffee, because you'd think that would be a brown. Well, let me introduce you to Devin Townsend's song, Ziltoid the Omniscient.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best Ziltoid impression here. So the title track for his album ZTO, which you should just listen to the whole thing. It's incredible.
I'll have to look it up.
Wild ride. So Ziltoid the Omniscient, he introduces himself thusly. Greetings, humans. I am Ziltoid the Omniscient, I have come far from across the Omniverse. You shall fetch me your universe's ultimate cup of coffee. Black. You have 5 Earth minutes. Make it perfect.
Fantastic. So,
that is why her black is called your universe's ultimate cup of coffee.
Yeah. That's going to, you know, that is definitely recorded and will probably go up on the internet in a clip. So
fantastic. I love it. Really hoping that somehow, some way we can get connected with Devin Townsend so that I could paint on stream with him a custom sculpted Ziltoid miniature. So
that'd be cool.
I'm manifesting that into existence.
There you go.
That, and also if Timothy Seals is listening.
Oh, Timothy Seals. Yeah.
We want to do a ghost bear theme and do a color of it.
Ooh, love it. Love
and
it.
I know you don't like Spotify for all the right reasons, but maybe we could just put that one up there so we could put it in our playlist.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe we'll see. We'll see. But no, that would be great. That'd be great. He has done some awesome stuff for, you know, BattleTech music.
Yeah.
Playlist, most
of our like company lore and like our vision documents and all that stuff, it was written to the MechWarrior 2 soundtrack that he did.
Oh, so good. I obviously, when we got the CDs back in the day in 1995 for MechWarrior 2, it was literally just a folder of music on the CD. And so I pulled it out, and it has been in my library since then and has come forward with me the entire time.
You can play the CD-ROM on a CD player, and it will play the music.
Yes, I did. I did. I would play it. Okay, again, we're a couple of more experienced gentlemen here.
Yes.
I would put it in my car CD player.
Yes.
You know, of course, with the removable faceplate. I would put it in there and I would listen to the soundtrack in my car. Because I had a commute to school and college that was about 45 minutes. And so yeah, I would totally do that.
Perfect.
Yeah. I did appreciate that and did learn that early as well. Yeah, so obviously, you know, you guys have, I'm showing the website now in there too, recently rebranded, which is fantastic.
Thank God. Amazing. It looks like a actual website now instead of just a landing page. So thank you for everyone who's been with us since the beginning of the Squarespace site that I made. Lila. Oh my gosh, she's done a phenomenal job with customizing this. She's done some great graphics on here. It works a lot better. Something that you will notice on here as soon as I actually get the page on there, which I may do while we're talking, there is a section under the About page, which has all of our color swatches on it.
Yes.
And a bit about our color system that we're developing for version 2 of Bear Cavalry line that's coming out Q2-ish.
Okay, all right.
We're aiming for Adepticon, but it may land in summer, so give us some grace there. But our plan all along, and you'll actually, this will be something to drop in the show notes, on Monday, we're having a video with Vince Venturella come out, and he did a great review of our whole line, and he basically says... What we love is we are kind of like a combination of an artist's acrylic and a hobby paint.
Yeah.
And so it makes a lot of sense. Which one of the things that we like to do is list all of our pigments that are in each bottle on the bottle.
Yeah. I've noticed that on the well, it's kind of hard to see now because I have the smaller photos up here, but yeah, on the back of the bottle you've got listed the pigments, you know, for what's going on there, and that's great.
Yeah, so what you'll see, not products, pages, On our colors page, which is literally going live now. There we go. Is all of our swatches, all of our pigments, exactly what's in there. Because I believe that paint shouldn't be treated like nuclear weapons. I used to work on submarines. You know more about what's in the reactor chamber of a Virginia class submarine as a person in the public mm-hmm. than we do about what's in a pot of GW paint. And I think that's dumb.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just because you know what's in your can of Budweiser doesn't mean you can or want to make it.
Very true. Very true.
And if you end up seeing our ingredients list and our pigments and go and make a better paint than we do, we haven't done our job well anyway.
Yeah. No. And I mean, like, you know, that would definitely be a challenge, in my opinion, to make something better than what you guys have made, other than you guys improving on what's there, because as many have reported, the pigments in your paints are super vibrant. They spread really well. I think I heard you say the color swatches were just like a single swipe.
Yeah.
Of the paintbrush.
Yeah. So if you look on that, it is literally just a straight brush. One brush stroke over white and one brush stroke over black. I literally flip the brush over to the other side and put out and go from white to black.
Yeah. And you can tell that, like, how it covers from that, which is fantastic.
Yeah, because, you know, we've like had this internal debate of like, well, we should have it, you know, full opacity, full coverage, like really see the color. But I really want you as the painter to see what it's going to look like on your mini from one coat, because you could tell what the color is going to look like after,
sure.
After it's full opacity. But you want to be able to see, is this fully opaque in one coat, or is it a little bit translucent? Or is it a little bit transparent? And do I want that?
Yeah.
Like our we call them our skin tones. They're not really official skin tones. They're mostly just kind of light browns, tans, and things. They're a little bit more translucent. It takes a few layers to get to full opacity, but that's what makes them really great for glazing.
Yeah.
Really great for mixing. Really good over underpainting. Yeah. So yeah, you'll be able to see those in there. And then also our right at the top, there's a link to literally our colorant supplier's website. If you really want to nerd out on colorant chemistry, we say exactly what's in the paint.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the transparency. Right to the
supplier website. So, you know, we've got nothing to hide. Because what you come to us for is the Necro Bear. You come to us for the metal playlist. You come to us for mud. You can get a lot of other good paints, right? Like,
yeah.
Monument Hobbies, they make a great paint. Jason and his people are fantastic. Army Painter, they make a great paint.
Yeah.
I can't remember the owner of the company, but he's a good person, I've heard. They do a good job. But you come to us because you're our people.
Yeah.
We're not for everybody, and that's okay.
And, you know, obviously, too, there's the sometimes there's the fear or the risk of like, oh, well, if it's sustainable or if it's natural, it's going to be more expensive. But you guys have done a great job of keeping it very
Our profit
competitive.
Margins are real wafer thin.
Well, but even still, I mean, like, you guys, you know, it's very competitive, especially considering your bottles are slightly bigger than the average paint bottle there.
You
colors
20
are fantastic. I also love that. I mean, my kids are old enough now, it's not a big deal, but I love that they're like childproof caps. You can, you know,
I like to call them sailor proof caps from my time
go.
In the shipyard.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, the 18 year old kid who's just, you know, just out of high school, and, you know, he can't mess this up.
Yeah, it's really hard to.
Someone
sure.
actually messaged me a little bit ago. They said that for the first time ever, they were flying to a convention and didn't have a bottle of paint explode in their luggage because of how our stuff is designed.
Yeah, and the tips are really good too. I mean, like, you know, the tips are that really super thin tip, which I love. I mean, like, it's, you know, I've been using Army Painter for a long time, and I love their you know, smaller tips, but like, this is like the smallest tip I think that I've seen in a paint brand, other than like, I have some Liquitex, if you have you know, they have a similar, like, really, you know, this is a much bigger bottle, but a very similar, very small tip. And so I do love that.
I don't know how many different bottle manufacturers I went through when I was looking for a good bottle. I landed on Chubby Gorilla as our manufacturer. Funnily enough, these are actually vape juice bottles.
I mean,
I don't vape, so I didn't even know. Sure. But our now head of fulfillment and stuff, Chris, he was owner of a game store when we were first getting started, and he's like, "Are those vape juice bottles?" I'm like, "Huh, I guess they are." but they do a great job of just doling out a tiny bit of paint, or a whole stream if you want.
Yeah.
And if you keep them upright, they will be, I'll say, clog resistant. Nothing's clog proof, but
sure.
They suck the paint back down into them pretty nicely. And it's really good for metering out precise mixes into your airbrush.
Okay.
Which we are working on an airbrush thinner. Got some here.
Nice. Yeah, that was a question I had in the Discord, and you guys were very helpful. I've yet to try it, because I just haven't had time to do any airbrushing lately. But
it thins great with water. If you have our glaze medium, which you would if you got an ammo can, it's just our untinted resin. It's just better to call it glaze medium because it sounds fancier. But you mix that 50-50 with water, it makes a good thinner. But then we're working on another one.
Nice.
It's got some latex reducer in it that kind of gives more open time as well. So we're playing around with that. We're doing some experimenting. Shout out to our friends at Spray Gunner. They've been super helpful. You'll see Yuli from Spray Gunner in our Discord. He is testing out our paints with all the thinners in a variety of airbrushes.
Yeah, that was one of the answers, or he answered you know, with a whole bunch of thinners, and so I look forward to hearing his response. So
and another another thing to look forward to, we are in early talks with Spray Gunner about developing our own airbrush.
Very cool.
Oh, more to come on that. So it's a super exciting project. Our team is just amazing. We're a small family business. There's only seven of us, and none of us are full time.
Not yet, anyway. Admirable, admirable for sure. I mean, like, you guys have been blown up. I know since you guys were at that Adepticon, and then now at Gen Con as well, I've only been hearing more and more positive things from you guys. The white, the yellow, and the red, like you said, have been very well received in the community. I don't have the white, but I need to get one, of that as well.
Worked like, really well for a variety of things, but one of my favorites is to thin it down and use it as a pin wash in weapon barrels for glow effects.
Oh yeah, that sounds great, and I'll have to remember that. But yeah, you guys are killing it. I'm super excited to see where you're going. I know you're at the end of our time here, but I was going to ask you, like, where's the future going? But you've kind of already hinted at a whole bunch of things, and I'm excited to see where those are going.
It's thankfully going in one direction due to my amazing COO, who keeps me from chasing all the shiny objects. We're excited to be the funnest paint company. Funnest?
Sure.
I'm an engineer, not an English major. Out there. And to really be different. One of the best compliments I've ever received lately was from a gal over in the UK who we've been messaging on Instagram a bit, and we're wanting to support her her channel. And she's like, you know, you sent me a voice message, which most people don't do, but I love. I wanted to reach out and collaborate with you because you've just shown me kindness. Like, that is the best compliment I could possibly receive. Because that's what we need more in the world these days. So that's what we're all about. It's just bringing people together in the real world, doing real stuff around a real table, and being people and being having fun and being kind to each other. So, you know, if you see us out at we'll be at Gen Con. We'll be at Adepticon. I will probably be at Origins or Gamma. We haven't made a decision yet there. But if you want to come out to Oregon, you may not want to leave. but we'd love to play some Battletech or go out and for a hike and do some plein air miniature painting. Hop into our Discord. Tyler has started to do evening office hours a couple times a week. So if you want to jump on a video chat with him and ask about anything, he's the guy who's behind all the formulas. And he loves to talk.
Get some like paint nights in there too in Discord. Get in there and just hang out, do some paints.
Yeah, if you want to organize one, please do. Like, again, we got seven people.
Because I definitely am a social person. So I need that social interaction for doing things. Yes. I mean, like painting, I can definitely do it. I can have music on, but like if I can just sit and chat with people, it definitely motivates me.
One more plug on the community aspect before we head out. We've started our ambassador program. So people who want to bring community together in their locale, wherever you may be. Maybe you're a commission painter. Maybe you own a game store or run a gaming club. If you want to say, plant your flag in the ground, Bear Cavalry is our paint brand, you can become an independent cavalry unit commander.
Sounds great. We will
design you a logo that you can put on patches or shirts, whatever you want to do. And then you'll get some special discounts, and we'll be working on fleshing out that program a little bit better as the months go on. But we've got the beginnings of that. So if you want to be on the ground floor and help shape that, just shoot me a message or an email, and love to get you in there. We've got a couple so far that have been really fun to see the names that people have come up with.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll have to chat about that or something like that, because so far I've been loving it and I want to use more of it. I just have to do it when I can. budget allowing, yep.
Oh, I know the feeling. So
hey, Dan, thank you so much for joining me today on the Mercenary Star podcast. It has been great. I hope to talk to you more just in general, because it's been a lot of fun to hang out and talk. Make sure that if you are listening or watching, you go check out Bear Cavalry Paint. They are an up and coming brand that looks to be really good, especially for, having an owner that loves Battletech. So got to support you there. Appreciate your heart for this community and for people, and looking forward to seeing where Bear Cavalry goes. So, again, thank you so much, and we'll end it there and close out. So
awesome. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.